Listen to me. Pay attention.
Things get real for a wannabe lawyer.
Since you, Mr. Wertheim, think that you're a smarty pants, that you can give legal advice without having the benefit of a law degree.
And the judge's job is already taken.
You said that's the way you make a living.
That's true.
You can't do that, sir. You say no, I say yes, I'm here, you're there. Wake up in the morning, you say I would like to be her, you're not me, so I win and you don't.
Judge Judy. You are about to enter the courtroom of Judge Judith Scheindlin. The people are real. The cases are real. The rulings are final. This is Judge Judy. Attorney in fact, David Wertheimer, is suing Ian Johnston and Doug Barnett for truck repairs, impound costs, and punitive damages.
Order. All rise.
Case number 444 on the calendar, the matter of Wertheimer versus Johnston Barnett. Thank you. You're welcome, Judge. Parties have been sworn in. You may be seated.
Mr. Wertheimer, what is an attorney in fact?
An attorney in fact is a person who has the authority to represent the principal, his client, under the Uniform Statutory Foreign Power of Attorney Act.
What do you do for a living? Because you can't make a living being power of attorney.
That's incorrect.
Well, for whom do you act?
Any natural person.
Mr. Wertheimer, I'm not following you. I am an attorney at law. I know what an attorney is. I know what a power of attorney is. I give power of attorney to someone to handle my business if I become incapacitated. I give someone a power of attorney to deal with my business if I'm going out of the country. Sometimes you compensate those people, but usually they'll do it for you because they're your son or daughter or brother or sister. What I want to know, Mr. Wertheimer, is how you earn a living.
I do paralegal investigations. I prepare legal documents. I give legal advice. Once a power of attorney under the Uniform Statute.
No. You cannot get legal advice
that
unless
is
you
incorrect.
Are an attorney. Shh. No. You can prepare legal documents as a paralegal. You can do many things. But you cannot give legal advice unless you are licensed to practice law in a jurisdiction. I don't care what section of the UCC you are quoting
I'm
from,
I'm quoting
sir.
The no. statutory law, excuse no. me, under California.
You cannot give legal advice, sir, unless you are an attorney licensed to practice anywhere.
With all due respect, you are misinformed about California law.
Well, then California is, sir, I won't. Show me. I want you to show me where you, as an unlicensed non-lawyer, have the ability to give legal advice.
Okay. We're going to start out with Probate Code Section 4034.
I'd like to take a look at it, please.
I'm going to read it to you, and then we'll...
No, I'd like to take a look at it, sir. You follow my rules, Mr. Wertheimer. Bird, would you take that from Mr. Wertheimer, please?
Sure.
He wants to refer me to a specific section that I am most anxious to read.
Please start at the bottom of that page so we understand the...
4034. Oh, I understand exactly what a third person means, any person other than the principal or attorney in fact. So okay. I actually...
Please go to the section above that.
It says attorney in fact means a person who can act for a principal regardless of whether the person is known as an attorney in fact or agent or by some other term.
Please go
Sir,
to the top
listen
section.
To me. Listen
please
to me.
Go to the top
what I,
section.
Listen to me. Pay attention. I want you to circle... anywhere where it says a non-attorney licensed to practice law in the state of California can give legal advice for money. That's how you said you earned a living, at least in part. I just want to read it. And if it's there, I will say, I'm sorry, Mr. Wertheimer. It says that a person not licensed to practice law in the state of California can give legal advice for money. So I just want to read this. Sir, that doesn't say anything about the ability to give legal advice for money. Would you please underline? Don't make a big circle, Mr. Wertheimer.
It's already there.
Just, no, it's not there. That's not what it says. It's not what it says, and you don't know what you're talking about. It is illegal in the state of California for a person not licensed to practice law in the state of California to give legal advice for money. Now, Bird is my buddy, as my friend may say to me, you know, I don't think it's a good idea, and I don't think that that's legal. But he's giving me advice as a buddy. You said that's the way you make a living.
That's true.
Well, you can't do that, sir.
Really?
You can't do it in the state of California. You say no, I say yes, I'm here, you're there. Wake up in the morning, you say I would like to be her, you're not me, so I win and you don't. Now, this is the case as I see it. And since you, Mr. Wertheimer, think that you're a smarty pants, that you can give legal advice without having the benefit of a law degree or a license to practice law in the state
there
of California,
is no such thing.
I, sir, am ready to rule on your case. But first, I'm going to inform the now 11 million people who watch me every day what the facts are of this ridiculous case. One of these guys over here had a truck that he abandoned on the property of somebody else. Whose truck? That would be you. You left it for 5 years on your friend's property. Your friend is also a friend of Mr. Wertheimer's. He said to Mr. Wertheimer, you have a nice laptop. Mr. Wertheimer said, you got that old truck that doesn't work. I'll trade you the laptop for the truck. Mr. Wertheimer gives Mr.
Barnett,
his old laptop. Mr. Barnett lets Mr. Wertheimer come on his property and tow Mr. Johnston's truck. Mr. Johnston hasn't seen this truck in 5 years, by the way. Mr. Wertheimer then, with all of his legal knowledge, but without a title to the truck, signed by the owner, proceeds to do, according to him, about $1,300 worth of work on the truck to get it running. He does, in fact, get the truck running and then tries to title it. And he finds out that he can't title it because it's owned by Mr.
Johnston.
Yes. Now, Mr. Johnston doesn't even remember this truck at all. However, according to Mr. Wertheimer, this is what happens. Mr. Wertheimer has parked the truck some way illegally in a church parking lot. The truck is towed and impounded. This is a story that took three convoluted minds to make up. I am, however, simplifying it for myself and for the 11 million people who watch me. Well, now Mr. Wertheimer can't get the truck out of the impound, so Mr. Johnston is contacted, and Mr. Johnston goes down to the impound with Mr. Wertheimer. I'm going to follow this story, because they're still friends. They're all friends. Mr. Wertheimer says, I'll pay to get the truck out of impound, because I already have a $1,300 investment in the truck. Got it so far? So he pays for it to get out of impound. Then Mr. Johnston says, no, I got a great truck that I want back. You can't have the truck. I didn't sell it to you. So Mr. Wertheimer says, I want either the title to the truck and the truck, or I want the money back that I invested in the truck plus my old laptop. Now, Mr. Wertheimer, because you tell me that you are a legal scholar able to give legal advice, the first basic thing you should know is, if you're going to take property by barter, because what you did was a barter, you bartered a laptop for a truck. If the laptop turned out to be stolen merchandise and somebody came to you and said, that's my laptop, you don't have the right to have that laptop. That's what Mr. Johnston is saying to you. Because when you invested your $1,300, all you had was the word of your friend that he had the ability to make this trade because his friend, the idiot, had left it on his property for 5 years. I, on the other hand, think that someone as smart as you are, Mr. Wertheimer, should know that before I make an investment in a motor vehicle and do work on it, I would have the title. Your case is dismissed. That's all. Thank you.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
My friend, Mr. Barnett, had a pickup truck that had been sitting on his property for a long time.
The laptop never worked. The screen was always black, but I didn't care. I was getting rid of the truck.
I think he was a speculator, and anytime you make a speculation, you take a risk that you're going to lose your money.
And now, the next case.
All parties in the matter of McKenzie versus Crawford. Step forward.
Joseph McKenzie is suing custom boat builder Joe Crawford and his wife, Sandra Crawford, for the return of his deposit. Joseph claims the boat he ordered was never finished.
Mr. Crawford, you're in the boat building business?
Yes, ma'am.
How long have you been in the boat building business?
I've built boats for 30 years.
How many boats do you build a year?
It could range anywhere from 6 to 30, depending on what's ordered. We do several different size boats.
When did you take a deposit to build a boat for Mr. McKenzie?
I believe it was in June.
June of 2013?
Yes.
And I assume that since you've been in business for 30 years, you had a contract?
We had a work order, yes.
I'd like to see it. Okay. This is what your case is about, Mr. McKenzie. Sometime in the summer of 2013, you ordered a boat from him?
Yes, ma'am.
And you gave him a deposit, according to you, of $5,000. I'd like to see the check from that.
There's a check and part of the statement to prove it.
And according to you, the boat wasn't delivered?
No, Your Honor.
And you want your deposit back?
Yes, Your Honor.
And Mr. Crawford says that the boat is 80% finished and you can't have your money back because he can't sell it to anybody else. So now Mr. Crawford is going to show me pictures of your boat because, Mr. McKenzie, you understand, nowhere here in this order does it indicate a date of delivery or that time is of the essence.
I understand that, Your Honor.
This I'm not interested in. Okay. This boat, I quite frankly, Mr. Crawford, don't understand, sir. And I'm going to tell you why I don't understand it.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
This is your wife. She would have said, honey, take a picture of the boat the way it looks now. You're going to tell the judge the boat's 80% finished. You're going to show pictures that are 7 months old. That would be stupid.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Joseph McKenzie says custom boat builder Joe Crawford owes for the return of a deposit he put down on a boat.
Now, Mr. Crawford, you say you sell anywhere between 6 and 30 boats a year, depending upon the orders. You say that this boat is unique because he wanted an enclosed pilot house, and therefore you can't sell it to anybody else because it's 80% complete. I don't see an enclosed pilot house in any of these pictures.
I don't see any. You don't, sir.
So now, what distinguishes these pictures from any of the other between 6 and 30 boats a year that you have built over the 30 years that you've been in the business? And I'm going to show this to Mr. McKenzie, so maybe he can tell me too.
30 years I've been building boats. The difference in that boat and even the pictures show there is he asked for a self-bailing boat, which means that the floor of the boat sits higher than the level of the water. That's something that we don't normally do. That's a $4,000 change, which means it has a completely separate...
Is this your standard boat or is this the boat?
That's his boat, but it's in different processes of being built. The board you saw laying on the floor of the boat...
Just a minute. Mr. McKenzie, you see the first picture that you have in your left hand? Is that a picture of your boat?
That would be a picture of the basic hull coming out of the mold.
Of the boat that you ordered?
I have no way to know if that was the boat I ordered.
Mr. Crawford, which picture should Mr. McKenzie look at to distinguish, allegedly, the boat that he ordered that you say is 80% finished? None of these look like they're 80% finished, by the way.
A boat that we don't build is a self-bailing boat, and it shows the stringer system there, and then there's another picture that shows the deck built on top of the stringer system. And if you look at the laps of the side of the boat inside, you'll see that the floor is higher in one picture than another picture.
Mr. McKenzie, do you see what he's talking about, sir? You must understand that. I don't. And at my age, since I'm never going to have another case like this, I don't have to learn a new thing. So I'm asking you whether you understand it. He says that you requested a self-bailing boat.
You want to explain
to me and to the millions of people out there what that is?
Self-bailing boat means that any water that comes into the boat, the deck height is high enough that that water will clear out through scupper holes in the back of the boat.
Okay. Do you see that in those pictures?
No, I see some boards laid down on the floor of the boat, which could possibly be stringers at some point, but they're not placed. They haven't been fiberglassed in. One other thing, I also ordered a full transom, a full height transom, because I wanted my main outboard motor behind the boat so that waves coming in behind me don't come into the boat. And this shows a cutout transom, which is what they normally do.
What is that, sir? Do you understand what he's talking about?
Absolutely. Our molds are set up for a standard boat. In order for us to build a full height transom boat, we put in the first layer of wood. We go up the second layer of wood all the way to the 35-inch height. And then we do the rest of the repair in the cosmetic
outside. So you haven't done it on his boat yet. So this is from the standard mold.
That's at that stage of his
boat. But you didn't bring me a second stage.
I didn't bring any other pictures.
Coming to court, Mr. Crawford, with the most updated pictures you have. In those pictures, you do not have what he ordered in the back.
In those pictures, I don't have the full transom.
And am I correct, Mr. Crawford, that the only telltale sign of this self-bailing boat on those pictures are the wood slats that you have placed in the bottom of the boat.
I can show you one of the
Just
pictures.
Just show me, take the pictures from Mr. McKenzie, and other than the wood slats that you've placed at the bottom of your standard mold, I want you to show me a picture so that I can see it and Mr. McKenzie can see it. What else have you done to customize your turn it around to me.
Here's a picture of the floor of the boat, the subfloor.
When was that taken?
This picture was taken in, I'm guessing, July.
Okay, so those pictures were taken, according to you, a month after he gave you the deposit, $5,000. We are now, sir, in March of 2014. Are you telling me that is the most recent picture you have of his boat?
Within the last, yeah, within from the time we stopped working on it.
Why did you stop working on it?
Because when he pulled his order, we can't afford to continue on with that project.
On what date, Mr. Crawford, did he pull his order?
It would have been in January, early January.
Well, then he's entitled to pull his order, sir.
Judge Judy continues in a moment.
Well, if you can't show me a boat that's 80% finished, it doesn't exist, Mr. Crawford, and you're a hustler.
No, but
you're
I can show you that he was still happy with the project.
You're a hustler.
October, November.
Mr. Crawford, you're a hustler.
Real cases, real people. Judge Judy. Joseph McKenzie says custom boat builder Joe Crawford owes for the return of a deposit he put down on a boat.
Now, if what you're showing me is something you did in July and you haven't done a thing to it, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, in almost 7 months to complete his boat, he has a right to say, we are done. I have no confidence in you.
We feel like we did the best we could.
No, you can't do the best you can, sir. The best you can is what my sixth grade grandchild says to me when they get a D in Spanish. I did the best I could. A man who's in business for 30 years building boats doesn't start with a hull in July and then say in January when he says, all right, I missed the summer season. Where's my boat? And you say, well, here's where it looked in July. And this is the way it still looks. So you have to give him his money back, Mr. Crawford. You're in business. And if you can't finish your business, and if you want to remain in business, then you say, I'm sorry. It's been 7 months. You don't have to wait any longer. Here's your money back. I haven't been able to put the top on your boat. In 4 weeks, you went from nothing to building the whole hull. And then you did nothing.
The hull is the production part. Beyond
that, you said it's 80% finished.
Absolutely. In October, he sent me emails back and forth. He was still happy. He was still loving things. Just wanted to know how things were going.
Mr. Crawford, do you get what I'm saying to you?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Well, I'm going to say it slower. I can't say it in another language. I unfortunately don't know another language.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. Have you been cheated? Go to judgejudy.com. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Okay, Mr. Crawford, in 4 weeks' time, according to your sworn statement, you finished 80% of his boat because that is the way you say the boat looked in July.
That picture isn't 80%. That picture doesn't show 80%.
You knew you were coming to court today?
Absolutely.
I assume if you wrote an answer and said the boat's 80% finished, you would have shown me a boat that was 80% finished. Show me a boat that's 80% finished.
Can't show you that.
Well, if you can't show me a boat that's 80% finished, it doesn't exist, Mr. Crawford, and you're a hustler.
No, but I can show you that he was still happy with the project.
You're a hustler.
October, November.
Mr. Crawford, you're a hustler. Yes, he is. Because if that boat was in a different condition than those pictures, this is your wife. Yeah. I assume she's a smart lady, too. She would have said, honey, take a picture of the boat the way it looks now, because those pictures are 7 months old. And you said the boat is 80% finished. You're going to tell the judge the boat's 80% finished. And you're going to show pictures that are 7 months old. That would be stupid. Why would you do that? Unless you don't have pictures of the boat that looks any different from that. That's why you're a hustler, Mr. Crawford. Judgment for the plaintiff in the amount of the deposit, $5,000. That's all.
Parties are excused. You may step out.
Judge Judy continues in a moment. And on the next Judge Judy.
The boat's 80% complete. We're stuck with a boat now that is designed for Alaska, not for Oregon.
Part of the problem, I think, has been is that maybe he just bit off more than he could chew.
Just a business deal gone bad.